1 Corinthians chapter 1 is something that God has dealt with my heart. I was sitting, just something about the church, something that's happened to the church, just different situations, and it's broke my heart here lately about the church, and I care about this church. And there's just situations, just something one night, a situation that just touched my heart, and you can. I was talking with Tracy on the way home, and I was just telling her about the church and how much I cared about the church, and I was sitting this past Saturday, a week ago, I was working. It was a slow day. There was nothing going on. I was out near the college. All the college kids had went home. And I got the opportunity to sit in my car and listen to some preaching. And I heard Preacher Chris Hazlip, if you've ever heard him, he's a great man of God, and God's using him. Amen. He preached a message, and it touched my heart, and God spoke to my heart. And I want to give you that. I'm not copying his message, but it's something God gave me off his message tonight. And I want to be as close to God tonight. I want God to meet with us. So I'm going to ask you to stand as we read the Word of God. I don't want nothing to hinder God tonight. I want God to meet with us tonight. And just out of respect of the reading of God's Word, I ask you tonight to stand. In Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning in verse 1, it says, Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Suthenes, our brother, and to the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Jesus, in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place called upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. And grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything ye are enriched by him in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, Amen. By whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Verse 10, it says, Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same things, and that there be no division among you, but that they be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. And let us pray. Our dear and gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, tonight as we come to meet, God, I ask you tonight as I stand behind this pulpit, God, I pray that you make me a preacher tonight. God, I confess anything that's between me and you, I don't want to hinder your work. I don't want to hinder your word being given out. God, tonight as I preach, I don't just preach to the congregation, but I preach to my own self. This is something that I need. This is something that our church needs. God, I pray that you use me tonight. God, I pray that you take this message and you apply it to hearts and lives tonight. We see what you have for us tonight. God, I pray that you touch our service tonight and meet with us. God, I pray for the anointing of the Holy Spirit tonight. Now, like I said, I don't want nothing to hinder your work tonight. And I want you to meet with us. I ask these things in your most holy name. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. Looking here in verse 10, Paul is writing to the church of Corinth. Paul actually started this church. He actually spent 2 years here at this church, or approximately 2 years. And now he's left, and he's writing them a letter. And he starts off, he's trying to encourage them. If you look at the first few verses, he's telling them that how much he thanks God for them, and he thanks God for them always, and he's kind of encouraging them. But the whole purpose of this letter was there was something going wrong, and something they were doing wrong. And we get to verse 10, and he says, I beseech you, brethren. The word beseech says to beg for utterly, urgently, and anxiously, and to request earnestly. So after he told them he loved them and he cared for them, and this was a church that he put some time in and he loved them so much, he was saying, look, I beseech you, I beg you urgently, that there are some things wrong, some situations wrong, and y'all need to get them straight. And tonight, as I talk to you tonight, I want to beseech you, brethren, tonight. I love this church with all my heart. You can ask Tracy. This is the church I got saved in. It's because of the preacher coming down, this is the church I got saved in when I was a teenager. This is the church down through the years that I've come to, and other than brief times of not being here or being unfaithful, this is the church that I love and I've called my home. I love every one of you tonight, and I'm not standing up here trying to point fingers at nobody out here in the congregation tonight. I'm preaching from the pulpit down. We've heard that comment today, but I'm talking from me all the way down to y'all. We're all on the same level here tonight. And there's some things I want to just beg you tonight and urgently and anxiously request of us tonight. As I said, Paul cared for the church and he was trying to help them. And I want to be a help to us tonight. If you would, if you turn over to Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2 and in verse 1 he says, "Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works and thy labors and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake has labored and has not fainted." And in verse 4, here God speaking to this church, he said, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love." I think tonight as this church, and I love this church. This is my home. I love each one of you here tonight more than you'll ever know. But I think God is looking back at our church tonight, and I think there's some things wrong with our church tonight. And I think God is saying, "I have somewhat against thee." I think there's here, God, he was writing this church and he's telling about some good things they're doing. And I think this church is doing some good things. We're sticking with the old paths and we're sticking with the old King James Bible. And there's many things like that. And we try to sing the old songs out of the hymn books. And we hadn't went contemporary and we hadn't got all this new stuff in our church. And I think there's some good stuff that God would sit here and write about us. And he said, "Y'all doing some good things, but there's some things that you're not doing or that I hate." Right. I think he's looking at us. I think God's just sitting back looking at our church saying, "I have somewhat against thee." Open Door Baptist Church in Marion. If you'll turn over to Revelations, there's going to be a lot of turning tonight. We'll get started here with a message here in just a little bit. I'm just trying to give you a little bit of background. Revelation chapter 7, starting in verse 15. Revelation chapter 7 and verse 15, he says, "Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple. And he has set, and he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. Neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them into living fountains of waters. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes." So we look at this, the first part of these verses. He's talking about a day when we go to heaven and what a glorious day that's going to be. Amen. He talks about here no one hungering anymore and what a glorious day that's going to be when you got families now that don't have food and their pantries are bare. And we've got so much heartache and so much pain in our lives and so much situations in our life. And what a glorious day that's going to be when we get to heaven and see Jesus Christ. And there will be no sun anymore because Jesus will be the light. We'll have that Lamb of God with us right there. What a glorious day. We sing that song. What a day that will be when my Jesus I see. When I look upon his face, the one that saved me by his grace. What a glorious day that's going to be. But as we get to the bottom part of verse 17, he said, "And God shall wipe away all tears from our eyes." Right. As I look at this right here, I understand that God knows that we're going to have tears down through our life. I know God's sitting here and saying, "I know the situations in your life, and I know the pains in your life, and I know the troubles in your life, and I know there's going to be tears, and when you get to heaven, I'm going to wipe them away."
Amen.
There'll be no more tears.
Right.
By this verse right here, God's saying, "I understand what you're going through. But I believe there are some tears that we need to have. I believe there's some tears that we must have. I believe we have lost our tears in this church. I saw it more today than I ever have. I remember the times when a preacher would get up here preaching, and people would have tears strolling down their face at the message, and the message would touch them so much that they'd have those tears running down, and they'd run to this altar and come to this altar and have tears on them sobbing down here on this altar. I remember those days. I remember the choir singing, and I don't get to turn around and see what y'all see, but I remember seeing people in the choir standing there singing the songs about God and how good God was, and tears strolling down their face. I remember those days when people would come up here and get saved and people would rejoice and have tears coming down their face. But here lately, in our church, I hadn't seen that much. The preacher gets up here and preaches and tells us what the Bible says, what God is giving, when we sit there with no tears and the message is over with, and we go out those doors just like we come in. There are days when the preacher's been preaching and people have raised their hand out here in the back and saying they're lost. And it doesn't break our heart one bit that they're lost and they raised their hand and they didn't come to this altar. And it doesn't break our heart one bit and we don't have any tears over them. And we sit here like it's nothing. And they walk out those doors lost just like they come in. And we've lost our tears here in this church. You said, well, tears don't really matter. Tears isn't what it's all about. But I'm here today to tell you tears move God. If you don't believe it, let's look at some. 1 Samuel chapter 1. And I'll not make you turn there. 1 Samuel chapter 1, we have the story of Hannah. How that the book of Samuel starts out with Hannah and is telling about her. Verse 2 it says, and he had two wives, and the name of one was Hannah, and the name of the other was Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. We read here about the story of Hannah, and she had no children. And verse 5 says, the Lord had shut up her womb. And Hannah wanted to have a child. She wanted to give her husband a child, and she really wanted one. And it says, the Lord had shut up her womb. In verse 7, it talks about her weeping. Says that she wept. Verse 10, it talks about that she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. Here we have the story of Hannah, and we're talking about the tears moving God, and tears really work. And here Hannah come, and she could have a child, and she really wanted a child. She had wanted a child so bad that she had tears in her eyes, and she was going to God in prayer, and she was asking God for a child, and God had shut up her womb, and she was having these tears every time she come to pray. Verse 10, it says, she prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. I can see Hannah now just down on her knees weeping to God and saying, God, I want a child. God, I want a child. And every time she comes, she'd have tears in her eyes and just a soul that was just down and out. And she wanted this child so bad. And she was asking God over and over and over. She wanted a child, and she had them tears in her eyes. And then you look at verse 19. And in the last part of verse 19, it said that the Lord remembered her. Amen. I believe those tears that Hannah shed, I believe every last one of those tears, God was looking down from heaven, and it broke his heart to see her crying. And she didn't have a child, and she wanted a child. And every time she come to him, she come with tears in her eyes and asking him, please give me a child. Please give me a child. And God saw those tears, and God was moved in his heart. And he said, the Lord remembered her. And we know that God gave her her first child, Samuel. And she gave birth to him. And so you can't stand here and tell me tonight that tears don't move God and tears don't affect God. Tears do not really affect God. And I think our church is lacking it here tonight. So many times down through the different, as growing up and different times in this church, I've heard about things of the past and the great revivals we used to have and the great revivals that churches used to have and the great move of God in different churches and how he moved. And We've been studying about different preachers and how different times they'd have so many people coming to church and people walking down the aisles getting saved and God just moving into church. And I'm tired of hearing about the past. I want to see it now.
Amen.
I want to see God moving this church.
Amen.
I want to see people come down these aisles every Sunday and raise their hand and say they need to get saved. I want to see the people of God get tears in their eyes, and every time the preacher preaches, they have tears flowing down their cheek. And every time a song is sung about how good God is to us, we'd have tears down our cheek. And God would move in our church, and we have a church like they used to have, and we have these pews filled up. We hear running around 60 people here a couple of Sundays, and that's not the way we should be going. It seems like we're going backwards. That's what's broken my heart. I don't want to see this church go backwards. Right. I want God to use this church in Marion County. I want God to use me and use y'all to reach this area. I want to see the day when these pews are filled. We had that one Sunday morning where we actually had a special meeting, and we prayed and prayed and prayed and asked God for 100 and so many people. We'd never had that many. And God blessed, and I believe people came to him with tears, and God blessed. But here lately, it seems like we just don't care, and we have no tears. So tonight, I want to give you just a few situations where we need tears back in our church. Some situations where I believe God will bless our church, and we can have a great revival here in Marion County where souls get saved. The first tears I think we need to have is tears for sinners. Luke chapter 19, verse 41 through 44. If you want to turn there. Luke 19, verse 41, we have Jesus here. And he's come to the city, and it says, and when he was come near, he beheld the city. And he's talking about the city of Jerusalem here. And he says, and he wept over it. Now this is Jesus himself. When he was come near and beheld the city, verse 41, and wept over it, saying, thou hadst known, even thou at the last in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. For the day shall come upon thee, and thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee, and compass thee around, and keep thee in on every side, and shall lay thee even with the ground, and thy children within thee. They shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knowest not the time of thy visitation. Here we got Jesus, and he's weeping over the city of Jerusalem. He knows that there's a situation coming where death is coming to him. He knows it's a time where the enemy is going to come, and it says, level them to the ground. It says, they shall lay even with the ground. And here God is, he's weeping over the city of Jerusalem, his people, the people that he loved, the people he came to first. And he's weeping over them, and he's got tears in his eyes over these people because he knows death is coming and he loves them so much. And then I look at us here, and we've got sinners here that are going, death is coming to sinners. There's people in Marion County and people in this church that come to this church and hear these messages and raise their hand, and they're going to a place called hell. And they're going to bust it wide open unless they come to this altar and get their life right with God. And we'll have situations where people raise their hand in church and say, I'm lost. And the preacher will ask them to come down here, and they don't come down here. We sit in these pews, and it doesn't affect us one bit, and it doesn't bother us one bit. And we get up and go out these doors and don't care one bit. When it should affect us big time.
Amen.
Like Jesus said, he's weeping over the city. He knows death's coming. And it ought to be a situation where somebody raises their hand in this church, and we all can hear the preachers he's saying. And he says, there's one, I see that hand. And it ought to break our heart. And we ought to want to see them coming down to this altar. We ought to call out to God and have some tears in our eyes and say, God, please save that soul. Don't let them walk out this door lost and not knowing you. God, please. We need to come down to these altars and put some tears on these altars and stain these altars with tears, knowing that there's some lost people in this county and in this church that are going to hell. There's many a time, Brother Bill, I'd go home and he'd raise his hand in his church and I'd sit over and pray, God, please save him. God, please let Brother Bill go down to the front, Mr. Bill go down to the front of that church. Let Mr. Bill get saved. And he wouldn't, and it'd break my heart. And I'd go home and I'd think about Mr. Bill and I'd say, God, please give me an opportunity to go see him. Give me the opportunity to go to his house and let him know that we care about him, we love him. But many times he raised his hand and it got to the point where, well, we know Mr. Bill's lost. Yeah. And it doesn't affect us. There's not one tear in this church for people who are lost. No doubt this morning we had people in this church and nobody raised their hand this morning, but no doubt there was people in here that didn't raise their hand, and that should break our heart too, that God is not moving in our church enough that people are raising their hand and he's not taking our messages that our preacher preaches and speaks to our hearts. And they're going home lost, and unless they get, something happens, they're going to go to hell. There is a place called hell.
Right.
If somebody hadn't loved us enough and cared about us enough and sent somebody our way and prayed for us, we'd be in the same situation tonight on our way to a place called hell. Somebody loved each one of us enough that they came by and said, God loves you. God cares about you. In the past, we had people here that a preacher came down by the last name of Schuyler, and he had a burden in his heart for this area. And he came and spoke to y'all and asked y'all to come to church, and people got saved, and he had a burden in his heart. And no doubt he spent time on his knees with tears in his eyes asking people, God, to save him. And a situation happened, and people in here got saved under his ministry. But something happened in the church, and we're not getting into that tonight. And the church ended up having a split. And then another man, several years later, came down from North Carolina to a place called Marion County and had enough tears in his soul and tears in his eyes that he cared and wanted to do what God wanted him to do. And he came down here and started a church in Marion County. And many of us down through that ministry and down through the different preachers have come to this church and have got saved. And it's because of those people who were down on their knees with tears and asking God to save somebody around here. That's why many of us are here tonight. But here lately, it seems like our tears are gone.
Right.
And we just don't care. It should break our hearts. We need tears for the lost. Psalms 126, verse 5 through 6 says, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth bearing precious seed shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. It's telling us to go out with tears and sow. Don't wonder where it's going to land. He tells us it's going to land different places. Just go out with tears in your eyes and tell people about the good news that God loves them and God came to this earth and died for them. They can get saved and go to a place called heaven.
Amen.
Just go out with tears. God, I beg you tonight to get tears again for sinners and care about them and want to see them get saved. Second of all, I think we should have not only tears for sinners, but I think we need to have tears for our loved ones. Mark chapter 9, verse 14 through 29, we have a father here, and he's come to Jesus Christ about his son, and his son's in his son has a dumb spirit, and here he comes to Jesus, and it says, Psalms verse 14 through 19, I won't read this, but in verse 17, it talks about him having a dumb spirit, and then God asked him, he said, how long is it ago since this came into him? And the man replied, of a child. Here this man has got a son, and he's had a dumb spirit in him, and he's had this thing that's trying to kill him, and it talks about how to just try to cause him to drown himself, and how he tried to jump into a fire. And this son, this father cared so much about his loved one. And cared about so much about his child that he came to Jesus. In verse 24 it says, and straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. And this father had tears in his eyes for his loved one, his child. And And I tried to imagine as he was growing up, as he was a child and the Spirit was in him, and many a day he probably sat down with this child and hugged on it and loved on it and had tears in his eyes for his loved one, his child, and he cared so much about it, and he didn't want to see this Spirit destroy him. He didn't want to see him die because of what he had. And I can just imagine him day after day just praying for his son and having tears for his son. And he knew who he had to get to. He heard about Jesus Christ and he knew he had to take him to him. And in verse 24, he come to God with tears and he said, "Lord, I believe." He believed that God was the one who could do what he needed. He believed God was the answer for his child, his loved one. And he came to him with tears. And if you read on later on, it talks about God again was moved by those tears and God healed his son. And I look out across here and like I said, I'm talking to my own self too. We've got loved ones and family and that won't come to church, they're lost. And I don't see one tear shed for them. I've got sisters who won't come to church and they're out of church. And I know that they used to be in a church. And I know they know what the gospel says, and they won't come to this church, and I catch myself not having tears for them. Many of us have all those lost loved ones, and we ought to come to this altar like this man came to about his son, and we ought to be at this altar every service praying for those loved ones and with tears in our eyes and asking God, please, don't let those family members go to hell. Don't let my sisters and brothers go to hell. I love them so much. Please let my sisters come back to church. They're out in the world and they love the world and they're not doing the things that you want them to. God, please get them back in this church. We ought to be down here begging God for our lost loved ones because we know that he is the answer for what they need. And just like this man, he loved his son so much that he came with tears in his eyes to Jesus and said, "I believe that you can do it. I believe you're the answer to what they need." We need to get some tears back in our eyes for sinners, and we need to get tears back in our eyes for our loved ones, those that are lost and going to hell. We need tears again in this church. I was just sitting there looking at Miss Sarah, and I remember times in her life when her husband was lost, and there was times in her life when he was going to that place called hell, and she'd come to this altar. I remember seeing her with tears in her eyes asking God to save her husband. And on his deathbed there, when he coded there at the hospital, God was gracious enough that he saved her, his soul. And with those tears, I believe it was because of those tears that God, he looked down through time and said, "I'll save him one day because of those tears." And I believe God was moved by those tears and said, "I love you. And because of those tears, I'll save your husband." I believe it's those tears. I went and visited Miss Vicky the other day and got an opportunity to speak with her. And all I can think about was that little girl and that little boy that asked me every Sunday about their mother. And they want to see their mother come to church. And they pray every time he asked if somebody here has a prayer request. They raise their hand and say, pray for my mother. I want to see her come to church. I want to see her get saved. And yet we sit here and it don't move us one bit. We don't have any tears in our eyes. Every time she raises her hand and says, "I want you to pray for my mother," we ought to have a tear in our eyes and say, "God, please save her mother. Amen. Please let her mother come to church and get saved. Please send somebody her way that she can hear the gospel and get saved tonight." But we get up and walk out those doors, not caring, not even worried about her mother, whether she goes to heaven or hell. We ought to have some tears. In John chapter 11, we have the story of Lazarus. And here we have Mary. She comes, she sends somebody to Jesus. Lazarus is sick. We know the story here in John chapter 11. And he's in a bad situation. She knows he's going to die. She knows there's something wrong. She knows that he's sick. And she knows the one that has the answer, who is the answer. So she sends somebody to tell Jesus. She asks him to go tell Jesus that the one he loved, Lazarus, God loved Lazarus, and God loved Mary and Martha. She said, you go tell Jesus that the one he loves is sick and he's dying. And we know how Jesus stayed 4 more days, and he comes along and he says that, they say that he's been in the tomb for 4 days. And we see that Martha, or Mary, she comes, she's out there, she's got tears in her eyes. In verse 33, it says, Jesus therefore saw her weeping. She was weeping over her lost loved one. She knew he was sick. She knew he was dying. And no doubt all those days, ever since she sent somebody out to Jesus, she was crying and praying over him and asking Jesus, just praying that Jesus would get there in time and save her brother. And then we get to this situation where he's already dead and she's got tears in her eyes. Now, I want you to understand that tears do move God tonight. In verse 35, we know the shortest verse of the Bible. It says Jesus wept. Jesus did not weep because of Lazarus being dead in the tomb. Jesus knew that he was fixing to raise him up, that he was going to be alive again. He wasn't weeping because of his death. But I think it talks about God being moved in his heart, and he saw Mary. She was in anguish over her brother and her lost loved one. He was dead. God was moved so much in his heart that it made Jesus weep. And it says Jesus wept. And I believe if we'll get some tears in our eyes for those who are, we know are sick unto death, they're lost, going to a place called hell. I believe if we get those tears in our eyes tonight and care, and actually care about somebody other than ourselves, get some tears in her eyes and say, God, I want you to save those people, those lost loved ones. I believe Jesus will be moved like he's never been moved again in this church. We'll see people walk down these aisles and get saved. And we can shout the glories to God about what he's done. So we have tears for sinners. We have tears for loved ones. I think we need to have tears for our sins. If you turn over to Genesis chapter 27, and I'll hurry up here. Genesis chapter 27, we have the story of Jacob and Esau here. Genesis chapter 27, I encourage you to read this chapter later on, but just for the sake of time, I'll kind of paraphrase. But we understand that Jacob and Esau were brothers. And their father was going to bless Esau, and he was going to give him the blessing, but we know how conniving Jacob was and how he dressed up like his brother and actually put goat's hair on the back of his hands and on the back of his neck. And he was so conniving and so that he went to those points of actually putting skin on the back of his that had hair on him, because his Esau, his brother, was hairy, and he wanted his father, who couldn't see good, he wanted his father to believe it was Esau. He come in there while Esau was out hunting and told him that he was Esau. And Esau said, you sound like Jacob. But then he touched his hands and touched the back of his neck, and he said, you must be Esau. And he blessed Jacob and Jacob stole Esau's blessing. And come to verse 41, and it says Esau hated Jacob for what he'd done. Here Esau, Jacob had got the blessing, Jacob left, and Esau comes in from hunting, and he goes in there to get his blessing from his father, and his father tells him he's already given it away to Jacob. And it says right here that Esau hated Jacob. And then you get down to Genesis chapter 32, and verse 22, and there's 2 points here I want us to bring out here. Here we get to Genesis chapter 32. Jacob has come to a point in his life. He's left. He's went and hid. He was scared of his brother Esau. He knew Esau was going to come and kill him. Esau was so mad and furious at him, Esau was going to kill him. And so he run and hid. And we get to this point in Genesis chapter 32 and verse 22. Jacob has come to the point where he's in a mess in his life. He's got out in sin and done something he wasn't proud of. And it says right here that Esau wrestled with an angel. The angel wouldn't let him go. And He saw wrestle with him some more, and eventually the angel touched him and touched his thigh and put his knee out of joint. Esau was what he was doing. He was getting to that angel, and he was saying, "God, I've messed up, and I'm not going to leave until you bless me, and I'm not going to leave until you forgive me for what I've done." And he wrestled this angel all night long, and to the point where the angel had to dislocate his knee. And here Esau was in his sin. He realized his sin, and no doubt while he was wrestling with his angels and the pain he was in with his knee, he had some tears in his eyes, and he said he knew what he'd done. And I could see him saying, "I've messed up in my life. I've got sin in my life, and I've let something come in. I've messed up and took my brother's blessing, and I shouldn't have been conniving, and I shouldn't have lied. But I've messed up, God, and I am not leaving until you bless me." And I could see tears in his eyes as he said that. He went to God with tears. And there's people here in this church, and they're flirting around with sin. We have people, no doubt, here that's trying to serve God on Sunday, but on Monday they want to serve themselves and do the things they want to do. I believe we need to come down to this altar, get tears in our eyes, and say, "God, I've got sin in my life. I want to be pleasing to you. God, please forgive me for these sins that I've done." I believe we need to get some tears in here for these sins that we've got and ask God to forgive us. But second of all, I want you to see here, as I said earlier, Esau and Jacob were brothers. And yet they hated each other. Another thing in this church, I think, is ripping this church. It's not ripping the church apart, but it's hindering this church. It's brother against brother and sister against sister hating each other in this church. This one over here hates this one over here, and this one over here is talking about this one, and this one over here is talking about that one, and these in the middle hate both on either side, and they talking about the preacher every time they leave, and they come to church, and as they're leaving home for lunch, they have the preacher, as we've always heard. We're talking about the preacher and putting him down and just running him out, running all over him. Chris Hazel, upon the message I heard, he was talking about, he preaches to young people. He loves young people, and he cares about young people. He wants to see young people saved, and he did a little survey and asked them, "Why, when y'all become 18 and 19 years old, you've been in church all while you were young, why do you leave the church when you get 18 and 19? The number one thing they said is because of the ride home, because our parents sit here and say, come to church and act like they're holier than everybody else, and they act like they have no sin in their life, and they love everybody in the church. But then by the time they walk out those doors, they're talking about everybody, running the preacher down, talking about the preacher's wife. And they said, if I'm going to live like that, I might as well live in the world. And I think we have that in this church tonight. I think people in this church, there's people, not, it might not be everybody, but I believe there's people in here, every time they get a chance, they're whispering in somebody's ear and saying, this one over here did so and so, and this one over here's got this in her life, and this one over here's got this in her life. And I think God's sick and tired of it, and we need to get some tears in our eyes and say, God, please forgive us in this church for talking about my dear brother over there. God, please forgive me for saying anything bad about them. God, please forgive me for talking about our preacher. God, I know he's your man. You put him in that behind that pulpit, and he's our leader. God, please forgive me for ever saying anything bad about him. God, please. Here Jacob come. He's wrestling with his angel, and he's got tears in his eyes, and he's saying, God, he's coming to kill me. God, I've made my brother mad at me. I've said, took his blessing. God, I beg you to please bless me. But then we look down in chapter 33, verse 2. It says, he put the handmaids and their children foremost, and Leah and her children after, and Rachel and Joseph hindermost. And he passed over before them and bowed himself to the ground seven times until he came near to his brother. And Esau ran and met him and embraced him and fell on his neck and kissed him. And they wept. I believe that's what we need in this church, is brotherly love and tears for our brothers, tears for our pastor and his family. We just go up to each other and just hug each other and tell how much we love them. We need to grab our preacher up sometime and say, preacher, I love you, and I care so much for you, and have tears in our eyes and show them we really do care. I think we need to go grab some of our brothers and sisters in church and just hug them up, or if it's a woman hugging a woman, or either tell them how much you care about them. Tell them you'll be praying for them, and God knows exactly what they're going through, and that you care for them, and you love them. And I also think if we've talked about somebody in this church and run them down all the way down to the ground and put their name all in mud, I think we need to get some tears in our eyes and go back to them and ask them to please forgive me for what I've said to you. God, please, I've run you down so much, and I've had hatred in my heart for you so long. Please forgive me for what I've said about you. I think God will bless this church greater than we've ever seen if we'll get some tears in our eyes for sinners. We'll get tears in our eyes for our lost loved ones. And we'll get tears in our eyes for the sins that we've committed in our life.
Amen.
Last two more points, and I know we're running along here. This is for the preacher or preachers, whoever might listen to this on the internet. And this is for preachers. I think the preacher, me being a preacher, I think I need to have it too. I'm not the pastor of this church. I'm not over this flock. He's put Preacher Scott here over this flock. And he's the leader of this church. He speaks. God speaks to him when he won't speak to us and shows him leadership. But this is for you, preacher, and this is for me and any other preacher. I think we need to have tears for the flock. I think we need to have tears and get in our prayer room and get in our closets and pray over the flock. In Acts chapter 20, we have Paul here. He's in Acts chapter 20, verse 17. Let me find it. Acts chapter 20, starting in verse 17. It says, from Malta he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, you know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with humility of mind, and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed unto you, and having taught you publicly and from house to house. Here we have Paul. He's talking to the elders of the Ephesian church. He's telling them right here with tears, with many tears, I've served the Lord with humility. No doubt Paul, every time he got in his prayer closet and he was talking about this church here at Ephesus, no doubt Paul got on his knees and with tears in his eyes and said, God, please touch the flock there. Please touch your sheep there at Ephesus and bless them and use them, God. Help them out and care for them. No doubt, just from this message, I get that the preacher needs to have tears for his flock. I think the preacher needs to get in his closet. I think all preachers, wherever they are, the churches that are over, they need to get in their closets and pray over their church and ask God with tears in their eyes, ask God to bless their church, and they'll use their church and bless people in their church. And God, use the choir and use the offering that we might be get souls saved through the offering. I believe that he needs to get in his house and his home and pray over the flock and have tears for them. So I think we need to have tears for the sinners, tears for the lost loved ones, tears for our sin, the tears for the flock. And lastly here, I think we need to have tears for what God has done for us.
Right.
In Luke chapter 7, verse 37 through 50, we have Luke chapter 7, verse 37 through 50, we have the story of Mary. They don't give her name at this point, but it talks about her. She's standing behind God, and she's got tears in her eyes. And she was a sinner at this time. And I believe she come to the point where Mary understood who Jesus Christ was and what he had done. She's got tears in her eyes, and it says in verse 38, and stood at his feet behind him weeping and began to wash his feet with tears. She realized who Jesus was, realized she was a sinner, and they realized that he was her answer for her. And no doubt she got saved. Later on it talks about that he loved them and she's a Christian. No doubt the situation, she realized who Jesus was and got saved. But it says she come to him with tears in her eyes and washed his feet with her tears. She actually had tears, so many tears that they dripped on his feet. She took the hair of her head and washed his feet with her hair of her head. And those tears, I believe we need as a church to get some tears in our eyes. And remember what God has done for us tonight. Remember that we were down in that miry clay. And somebody come by our way and told us about a man named Jesus Christ who came down to this earth and died on an old rugged cross for me and you. And he lifted us up out of that miry clay. We need to get some tears in our eyes and realize what God has done for us in this church. Not only do we need to realize, have tears for those sinners, those lost loved ones, and for the flock, but just have tears in our eyes because we're so happy about what God has done. When we sing these happy songs of Zion up here in the choir, just have tears coming down our face because we know what God has done for us. As a preacher gets up here and preaches and tells us about how good God is and how he'll help you out and all those worries you have and all those needs in your life, he's right there for you. And he'll help you out. We ought to have some tears in our eyes tonight and realize that God is so good. And we could be in a place called hell tonight, but he sent somebody our way and we get to go to heaven. We need to have some tears. We need to get on these pews, and as a preacher is preaching, just have tears coming down our eyes. We need to be in the choir singing the songs and saying, God is good, and having tears in our eyes. We need to go out those back doors saying, God was good today. God has met with us, and have tears in our eyes. And I believe God has blessed this church. I believe God will use this church. He'll touch this church like he's never touched it. And we'll see God save sinners here in this church. I believe we need some tears in our eyes and realize that God has done a wonderful work in our life. Right. We need to care and be happy about what God's done. Amen. Don't need to come in here with poop slips and just all mad all the time and pouty and God's going to bless me if he can. We need to come in here and say, God, no matter if you bless me today or not, you've been better to me than I ever deserved. When we sing and talk about he's my everything like we did this morning, it ought to break our heart and say, God, you are my everything. I have nothing, God, without you. Well, we have Sunday school classes, and there's nothing about me. I don't want you ever to look at me. But we have Sunday school classes like this day, and he talked about how to be pleasing to God. We ought to have tears in our eyes and say, God, I want to be so pleasing to you because you've been so good to me. We need to come to these altars and flood these altars with tears. And I believe God will touch and bless our church. As the preacher comes, let us pray tonight. Our dear and gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you tonight for the opportunity to come and preach. God, I thank you so much for speaking to my heart. And I thank you so much for touching me through this message. God, if you touch no one else and you spoke to no one else's heart, God, you broke my heart through this message. God, there's so many people in this county and so many people who come to this church who are lost and don't know the good news and don't know you as their personal Savior. And God, I've sat here service after service with no tears in my eyes. And I walk out the door not caring about those who are lost. God, if it hadn't been for somebody caring for me, I'd have been in hell today. God, I pray that you'd give me tears again for lost souls. God, I pray that you'd give me tears for my loved ones, my sisters who and their husbands are not coming to church and they don't care. God, I pray that you'd help me when I get in that time of prayer that I'll have prayer over my loved ones. God, I pray I'd have tears for this flock. They're not my flock. They're not my sheep. I'm not the under shepherd over them. God, they're my brothers and sisters in Christ, and I love them. And I pray that you give me tears for them, that when they hurt, I hurt. And when they're in pain, God, I'm in pain, and I just have tears for them. But most of all, God, may I have tears for what you've done for me. God, you've been so good to me. I'm so unworthy. I deserve to be in a place called hell today. God, not only did you save me, God, you called me to preach. And I don't see why sometimes. I'm a big failure, and I fail you so many times, but God, you've been so good. God, I pray that I have tears because you've been so good to me. God, that I sing as I sing songs, and God, may I sing them with tears in my eyes, tears in my soul because of what you've done. God, I thank you for tonight, and I pray that you just speak to people's hearts tonight. God, if there's anyone here lost tonight, I pray especially for them. God, that you show them their need and before it's eternally too late. God, will you put your loving arm around them tonight and show them how much you love them, and that if they'll come to this altar and give their heart and life to you, you'll save them. Nothing fancy they have to do. All they have to do is ask, and you'll save them. God, we love you, and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Let's stand to our feet tonight for the invitation. Heads bowed and eyes closed. God has spoken or dealt with your heart about anything that's been preached tonight. Why don't you find your place at this altar? If you don't have the tears that we should have for the lost, for our sins, for the Savior, we need them. We need those tears. I want to ask you a question. While some people's praying, if everyone you've witnessed to this year, now this year is almost gone, just another month, but if everyone you've witnessed to this year told them about Jesus and how Jesus can save them from their sin, if every one of them would have got saved, how many would there have been that has gotten saved because of your efforts? Not just passing out a gospel tract, not just inviting someone to church, but you personally took your time and told them about Jesus Christ. If they would have gotten saved, how many would it have been? If the only prayers Jesus Christ would have heard this year about saving someone came from you, how many prayers would he have heard? If every church member was just like me, what kind of church would this church be? Brother Jeff told us a promise in God's Word tonight. You take it for face value. The Bible says, he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall, not maybe, but shall, come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. That's a promise tonight. Maybe there's someone tonight you need to go and hug and let them know you love them. Maybe tonight you need to let them know you care. Maybe tonight you need to tell them you're sorry. Maybe tonight would just be a good night to tell the Lord thank you. You can look this way. I don't know if you know it or not. The world's coming to an end. People's dying every day and going to hell. And God's given us the privilege and ability to do something about it. We can tell them about him. He'll do all the work. He'll do the saving. He'll do the changing. All he wants us to do is tell them about him.